I just want to give us a quick thought this morning. I know service is going to start at 11. That's 15 minutes here. So just preach through. So in 1 Peter chapter 3, what's that? The clock. Wait, he's going to put a calendar there. We don't preach by a clock. We preach by the calendar. So we'll be here for 2 days. Amen. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 14, the Bible says, "But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that lieth within you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." And in reading this passage of Scripture, Peter obviously wrote this book. It's 1 Peter. He wrote two books of the Bible. And 1 Peter dealt a lot with Christian suffering. And he talks about just some order and some practical things. 2 Peter gets more into judgment and the end times and all that. And I like 2 Peter a lot, and I like to read that there. But in this particular passage, he's dealing with persecution. And I mentioned to you that several of the disciples were persecuted for their faith. James was the first of the disciples or apostles to be killed in the book of Acts. Stephen was the first martyr after Christ. So when you look at New Testament heritage, John the Baptist was the first person to be killed in what we consider the New Testament. Jesus was the second one, and he rose again. Amen. I'm thankful for that. After that, Stephen was killed, and then you see James getting killed as well. And you remember Peter, when he was in his ministry, told Jesus that he wouldn't deny him and turn his back on him or anything like that, and that he would even be willing to die for him. And Jesus told him, yeah, you are going to die for me. And he told him what manner of death that he was going to experience. And Peter experienced whatever Jesus told him he was going to experience. I believe Peter died the way Jesus told him he was going to die. And Jesus told him that he was going to die, and that didn't stop him from serving the Lord. And he writes this passage, and he talks about suffering for righteousness' sake, knowing that one day he was going to die for what he believed and what he preached. And history teaches us that Peter eventually was led to be crucified, and they were going to crucify him. But because of how Jesus died, he felt unworthy to die in a similar crucifixion. And so he requested that they actually put his cross upside down. And that's how he died, was on an upside-down cross. They literally crucified him upside down. Peter, the man who wrote this book, the people that we read in the Bible, the one that wrote this, what we just read, when he died, he didn't die of old age. He didn't die of a heart attack. He didn't die in an accident, in a chariot accident, amen? He didn't die in anything like that. They took him and they crucified him, and they lifted up his cross, and he was upside down as he gave his last breaths on this earth. That is how he died, and yet he's telling other Christians to be happy in these things. Happy are ye in suffering. Happy are ye if ye suffer for righteous' sake. Happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror. Neither be troubled. He said, don't be afraid of their terror. And that idea of terror is where we get the word terrorism and attacks and so forth. You hear about people who do attacks of terrorism. They're things of a great on a great scale of killing people. See, don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of terrorism. Don't be afraid of that terror. Neither be troubled. Don't worry inside your heart. Don't question. Don't doubt. It's interesting that he said, neither be troubled. I remind you, Jesus had told his disciples that he was going to be crucified. And he told them that the night before he died, exactly what was going to happen. And he told them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Similar words here being expressed when Jesus was going to be crucified and they were afraid. He said, let not your heart be troubled. And now Peter's writing Christians and he's telling them, don't worry about their terror, neither be troubled. Very similar to what the Lord Jesus Christ said. And in fact, he says, after all this stuff and knowing the persecution is going to happen, he said, be ready. Be ready to give an answer. It says there in verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man, not just to those that want to hear, but to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, the idea of fear isn't fear of them. The idea is fear of God. Amen. I'd rather fear God than man. And the reason we don't know how to take a stand for our faith is because we fear man above God. And God wants us to always be ready to give an answer. We ought to fear Him. Say, you know what? I'm willing to preach and teach the truth. I'm not afraid of man. I fear God above man. And I don't want to shame my Lord. I fear hurting my God as far as, you know, disappointing Him. I fear the judgment that'll come, the lack of rewards, and all these different things that happen. I fear what God can do more than what man can do. And so I'm going to be ready to give an answer. And so I want to ask us this morning, as we consider the what was just read. I was going to teach something different, but the Lord just led me in this. You know, we talk about wanting to start a church, and Brother Pineda said, you know, teenagers, you need to one day give an account for your faith. It's not going to be your parents' faith. But I want to ask Liberty Baptist Church, is this your faith, or is it just your preacher's faith? And there's a big difference there. See, and I know he teaches it a lot and teaches it a lot, and it needs to get to the point towards, oh, there's the preacher and what he believes. No, this is what we believe.
Amen.
This is what we believe. Whenever I had a class in college that I went to, and we had to write a doctrinal statement to graduate, and we had to write it our own. We couldn't copy anyone's or anything's. We had to go through and decide what we believed was, important, and defend that position and so forth. And the title, everyone had to write the same paper, and the title was "This We Believe." And I remember that, I'd never forgotten that. And like I said, there's not a lot of things that I did like in college. I had a lot of stuff that Brother Londo and I talk about that stuff all the time. Brother Pineda, I should say, and all the things that I didn't like in college. But I like that at that point they made us to put what we thought was important. And some men's papers were longer than others. And you say, why is that? Because some men thought some things are more important than other people did. And my paper was a decent size there. And right after salvation was baptism. I mean, it was right there. We had God, the Bible, and then from there, you know, God and the Bible, salvation and baptism. And even at the time, I didn't even understand all the stuff that we're talking about now, but I knew there was something important to the New Testament church. Yeah. And I tried to the best I can describe why a local assembly is so important and so forth. And I like that we had to give an answer. I'll tell you this much. You're there in 1 Peter, turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. And so 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 15, another famous passage of scripture that we know, a lot of us know, but look what the Bible says. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so Peter told them to be ready always to give an answer. Paul tells Timothy that if you don't study, you're going to be ashamed one day. And I don't want to be ashamed. Not that I'm ashamed of what I believe, but I don't want to be ashamed that I can't give an answer. Yeah. Have you ever had someone talk to? I remember one time whenever we were down here in the South Valley, I grew up here, and you know, all sort of thing. I grew up just right off Metzger and also off of Bunagwiti, and just right down off of Sleta. And we were out doing some door knocking one day, and we came across a guy who was with the Bible terms or teaches is a legalist, a full-blown legalist. A legalist, what that means is basically you put the law where only grace can apply in regard to salvation. And so it's like, you know, well, you say you're saved, but have you been circumcised? You say you're saved, but have you been baptized? You say you're saved, but do you eat pork? Because you shouldn't eat pork. And that's what these people teach. And I'm not saying it's true. That's what they teach. Amen. I love bacon. Amen. And we eat pozole and menudo and pig's feet. Amen. And so I like my pig's feet there. And so I enjoy that. But we eat those things, and there's biblical reasons why we can eat them. Now, there are legitimate biblical, but have you ever run across like a Seventh-day Adventist? And are you able to defend grace? Are you able to defend those things before other people? And when I was a young man and we were out door knocking, we came across a person who was a legalist. He was a Seventh-day Adventist. And we did not know how to argue with this guy. And here we were, two Bible college students. And we, not that we wanted to argue with him, we didn't know how to defend what we believed. And we left his doorstep ashamed. Because we couldn't give an answer. because we didn't know how to defend our faith. And that's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Your level of Bible knowledge, and I understand we're all growing and learning, but are you able to defend the faith? Amen. Are you able to contend for the faith? Or if someone opposes you, would you be able to defend it, or would you be left ashamed? And it's not just regarding even false religions and so forth. What about even like scientists and people who believe in evolution and all these different things? Are you able to defend the creation of God? And I believe that is something that we need to learn more and more and more because of the day and age in which we live. And there's more and more people as they go to college are becoming atheists. Yep. They're becoming atheists, and we got to be able to teach them a young earth. Amen. We got to be able to teach them that the word of God is true, and that, you know, the one of the biggest arguments that they say, oh, that book's just written by men. It's like, well, what about your textbooks? Aren't they all written by men? I mean, come on. And you got to be able to think of some things to be able to defend that yourself and leave them in shame, if you would, and get them questioning what they believe and so forth. So maybe you can lead them to the truth, you know, and all that sort of thing. I remember one time we were watching, I like to watch documentaries, and I don't believe half the stuff that's there, but I like watching. I like watching shows where it shows like something in Antarctica or something in Africa, and, you know, the caves down, and, you know there's, you have down in Carlsbad Caverns, there's another one called Chagia, and it's really neat caverns down there. I love watching that stuff. I like seeing God's creation. I'm infatuated. If there's one thing I'm probably infatuated as much as Baptist history, is God's creation. I love it. The Bible says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And I love to use creation to give glory to God. Just all that you see all around, just and I go out to the mountains a lot, and I see things, and I look at stuff, and it's, man, God is so majestic. I mean, to walk out there and see these big old tall ponderosa pines, and you hear the squirrels in the back chirping, and you see turkey run across the road there, and trout jumping here, and elk over there. It's so majestic to see that stuff. And it humbles me. It really humbles me to see God and his creation. That's why I like to study those things, just to see how big my God is. Amen. You look at that, the earth is his footstool. Amen. And you think about that, and he created heaven and earth. And so we study these things, but watching some of these documentaries, one time they were doing a series on some particular topic in science. And one episode it said billions of years, another episode it said millions of years for the same exact thing. And I said, two episodes back to back contradict each other. I mean, really? And they say the Bible's full of contradictions? Yeah. I mean, I'm giving you some things to consider whenever we think about reaching people. They want to leave us in shame. They want to make fun of us. And they become very, very condescending, yeah, and mocking of Christians. Do we have anything to not necessarily humble them in the sense that, oh, I'm better than you, but to say, hey, there's something wrong with what you believe here. You say there's something wrong with my belief. What about your belief? What about this and this and this? And we need to know how to answer men. We need to know how to answer them. Right. Now, I want to say this much. In the book of Acts, you find two groups of people. People who asked legitimate questions. What must I do to be saved? Amen? That's a legitimate question.
Yeah.
Or by what name or by what authority? They're questioning them. You find those two different groups. Those two different groups. People who have legitimate questions, we need to be ready to answer them. People who question what they believe, and we still need to be ready to answer them as well. Yeah. And so I want to ask us this morning, are we ready to give an answer? As we think about missions, and as we think about church planting, and so forth, these are things that we're going to run into. Legitimate things. I mean, we have church here today and everyone's happy and excited, but you go out and start a church somewhere and you're going to run across a Catholic. It's going to start telling you stuff, and they're going to tell you, I believe salvation by grace through faith. And, yeah. Oh yeah, really? Well, what is grace to you? Well, they gave us, you know, baptism and you know, first Holy Communion and you know, catechism and marriage and the church. And then they start saying that the sacraments are God's grace.
Yeah,
how would you show them that that's not true? That's a lie, and they're believing that, and they're trusting that, and that's going to take them to hell because they're not trusting the truth. They're not trusting Christ as their Savior. They're trusting themselves. They're trusting the church. And by the way, they always say, oh, your Bible's written by men. It's like, well, where do you get all your teachings from?
Yeah.
Pedophiles? I mean, that's like the lowest of men, amen? I mean, really, You look at that. There's a priest in Taos once that was there for 6 months and had over 30 victims. 6 months and had over 30 victims. I mean, when he got there, he hit the ground running. It wasn't for the sake of the ministry, it was for the sake of his own perversion and so forth. I mean, it's sad to see that, but we need to be able to confront people with these things. We really do. So are we ready to give an answer? As you think about starting a church and move forward with it, you need to prepare yourself with doctrine. And here's the thing. As you study these things and you learn these doctrines, you're probably not going to automatically need to use it, but you need to have that round in the chamber, so to say. Yeah. Amen. You got to be ready for it. You got to be ready for it. For whenever that question comes, whenever someone opposes you a certain way, you're able to, with an intellectual way and a Bible way, give a defense of the faith. So they don't run circles around you. Amen. Amen. You run circles around them and you show them truth after truth after truth and you give it to them to where it leaves them questioning what they believe. I mean, it really does. You want to shake them off their foundation because their foundation isn't strong and their foundation is weak. The thing is, their foundation is going to take them to a devil's hell. We need to get them on Christ, the solid rock. Amen. There is no foundation that no man can lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Amen. He's our foundation. We need to get them on Him, not on these false teachings and so forth, because all those foundations are going to crumble one of these days. When you think about in the book of Daniel, whenever there was that great statue that Daniel had the dream of, and there was the gold and the silver and the brass and iron mingled with clay and all the different kingdoms of men, and the rock came and crumbled that, and it took over the whole earth there. Amen. That Christ is the foundation. All the other ones crumbled. And one of these days, they all will crumble. One of these days, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess Amen. That Jesus Christ is the Lord, is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But we want them to confess that today. Amen. Because if they never confess that today, when they do it that day, that's the only time they will. And they're going to be thrown into a devil's hell, to a lake of fire, burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so we want them to submit to the Lord today. So we need to teach them the truth. We need to be ready to give an answer. As we think of starting a church here, you're thinking of planting a church and moving forward and doing all these things, you need to be ready to give an answer. And just like Pastor Pineda read out of the Book of Martyrs, those people were ready to give an answer just like that. And their answer normally led to their death immediately afterward. And so let's be ready to give an answer. And so with that, we'll go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father,